I'm Kurt Hawsworth, host of Class Eclectic here on Public Radio 90, on the phone with a special guest today to talk about a third volume of music of a composer that, well, has lots of different kinds of sounds that you wouldn't expect in the classical world, homemade instruments and multiple influences of genres coming together in the classical realm. We're talking about music of Harry Partch today, and I'm on the phone with music director of the Partch Ensemble. His name is John Schneider. Good to have you on the phone today.
Thank you.
So we're talking about a new release, which is the third volume of music of Harry Partch, music that you're very familiar with, especially with the Partch Ensemble. Do you think, John, you could give maybe an elevator speech description of Harry Partch's music?
Of his music? Okay, sure. Here's a gentleman who, born in 1901, died in 1974, and when he was a young man, realized that music wasn't doing what he thought it should do. So he created instruments and a musical language to manifest the music he heard in his head. Now, that when I say that, he created a scale of 43 notes per octave and over 30 custom handmade musical instruments to make this music. And, of course, he wrote all the music himself, too. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the fact that even somebody as illustrious as David Bowie calling his works creepy as hell and positively rocking is something that definitely reached out to me. I'm a huge fan of classical, but also of, alternative and indie and, the music of Bowie and all these different influences coming together. And, someone who's taking music and basically taking the reins of it and saying, you know what, this isn't working for me. I'm going to make my own music and make it on instruments of my own. So in the Partch Ensemble that you're music director of, what's your perspective on utilizing those kinds of instruments and tackling music of this kind?
Well, it's a bit of a challenge because nobody goes to school to learn how to play a Partch instrument. All of my players are highly trained studio musicians and recording artists in their own right. And yet here are instruments they'd never seen before, written in a notation that didn't make any sense. Actually, it makes beautiful sense on the page. It looks like so-called real music, but it's tablature. So he uses five lines and notes, but referring to something completely different. It tells you what to do on the instrument when, but it doesn't tell you the sound that comes out of the instrument. So there's this disconnect that, well, lots of guitar players know about. They've played tablature their whole lives. But this is a whole new approach in so-called classical music.
Right. And this is the third volume of music of this kind. So with this volume, you've got some influences of jazz. You've got influences of vocal sounds coming together, even taking recordings from Edison cylinders. Is this kind of the normal repartee of how Harry Partch would bring these sounds together? Or in this volume, are there more surprises that you and the Partch Ensemble are discovering?
Oh, there are all sorts of surprises every time, not the least of which we've gotten to know a lot of the music he's written. We haven't played everything yet. We're getting there. But there are sometimes three or four different versions of the same piece, and he'll change an instrument here, he'll change a note there. It's a voyage of discovery for every piece of music.
And now with the discovery of this kind of music, there's sometimes something to hold on to. You know, it's always nice to have something a little bit familiar to say, okay, I can. This is my gateway to kind of get into this. The recording this time around begins with a jazz-inspired piece written for Chet Baker and Gary Mulligan. Could you speak a bit about Ulysses at the Edge of the World, which it sounds like is going to have an adventure in rhythm?
Well, that's what he called it. The subtitle was A Minor Adventure in Rhythm, because it has, well, everyone knows Dave Brubeck by now. Take Five was in five beats per measure. That was very unusual in the 1950s. When Partch wrote this, also a couple of years before Take Five, he had measures of seven, measures of five, things constantly changing and the emphasis landing on the wrong syllable, if you will. And it was a challenge, and it was an exercise to see what he could do. He also loved Jerry Mulligan's playing and knew Chet Baker, so it was sort of a no-brainer to put all that together. And, you know, the music swings. Good luck dancing to it, but it's very approachable. And I got to tell you, so-called contemporary music, people say, well, you know, contemporary music is new, yeah, but audiences get scared by contemporary music, usually because it's kind of abstract. Harry Parch hated abstraction. He loved corporeality. He used that term to describe his own music. It must be visceral. It should be emotional. It should be approachable. Hey, sign me up.
And with that corporeal feeling, we'll take a moment to listen to a little bit of Ulysses at the Edge of the World. And we'll come back now with some of that more kind of feeling of the body involved with the music, taking a look at some of the 12 Intrusions, which is a piece from 1950. We're taking a look at cloud chamber music in just a moment, but there's a collection of so-called vocal jewels. What can you tell us about the 12 Intrusions and how maybe the body is involved with that?
Fascinating, isn't it? I mean, most composers call them song cycles. He didn't call them songs. He called them intrusions. Nobody knows why. But each one of them, they were done in sets, in small sets, and composed separately. Two of them that begin are studies on ancient Greek scales, and there's no words at all. Most of the rest of them are settings of texts that go anywhere from letters he got from fellow hobos from 1930. There's ancient Chinese poetry. There's nature poetry from Northern California. And they're not really songs either. They are intoned texts, which is exactly what got Parch into this in the first place. He suggested that the human voice and a single person making music like the old bards, that was the essential musical experience. And he found that on a modern piano, he couldn't reproduce the same sliding and gliding notes that I'm using when I go up or down with my voice. He couldn't find those notes on the piano, so he ended up making more notes per octave so he could capture that. And that's what these intonings are.
So curious. Let's listen to a little bit of cloud chamber music. And that's cloud chamber music. That's the last of the 12 intrusions that Harry Parch calls his, I guess you could say, song cycle that we just mentioned include different tones than you could find on traditional instruments. And that's some of the reasoning why he's developed some of his own instruments over the years with these compositions. Wanted to just take a look at one more of the pieces from 1958, Wind Song. What can you tell us about that work?
Wind Song was a film track, actually. He was approached by a filmmaker to work on a project. He had already done this amazing piece called U.S. Highball, which was about hitching from San Francisco to Chicago in the 1940s at the end of the Depression. And he met with this filmmaker, and she just happened to be playing with some footage that she had made earlier of she and another guy playing around on the sand dunes somewhere in the Midwest on the Great Lakes. And he said, good heavens, that reminds me of the legend of Daphne and Apollo. So she said, great, let's make a film out of that. And that's what Wind Song is. It's the story of Daphne and Apollo. And he wrote the music for that film. Now, our performance is actually what he really wrote, all of it from beginning to end. And like all film music, everything that gets written doesn't necessarily end up on the screen. So this is the first time that anyone's been able to hear the original version of the entire thing.
Well, now let's take a moment and hear a bit of the original version of Wind Song, imagining this on a film. Thank you. And that's a bit of wind song inspired by the Great Lakes, which, in fact, we're surrounded by Lake Superior up here in Marquette with Public Radio 90. So that should really ring true for some of our listeners here. Wind song from 1958. Again, music of Harry Partch. And this is from a newer release, Volume 3 of Partch's music called Sonata Dementia. That's featuring the music director of the Partch Ensemble, and we've been speaking with the music director, John Schneider. This is really fascinating music, especially for someone who's really looking for something different in the classical realm. Is that kind of how you got started with this Partch Ensemble and the music of Partch? Were you also kind of looking for something different to maybe experience and perform?
No. I heard Partch's music, and it came up and grabbed me by the ears and said, listen to me. And I found myself, the first piece I really fell in love with was Barstow. And I thought, what, this is contemporary music? It's funny. It's human. Can you do this? Is this okay? And I was just amazed. And then I fell in love with the music, and then it turned in from a case of love into a case of lust. I just had to possess this music. I had to be able to play it myself, and that's when we started building instruments, because these are not played on the original Partch instruments. These are copies. These are brand new copies we had to create. If you fall in love with the music of Harry Partch, watch out, because you can't play it on regular instruments. You have to make your own, the same way Harry did.
So that's kind of a lifelong commitment then, once you open the door to music of Harry Partch. And again, we're speaking with John Schneider and talking about the Grammy Award-winning Partch Ensemble with their third volume of music of Harry Partch. Been hailed as funny, moving, inventive, and insanely theatrical. I'm sure seeing a live performance of this would be quite theatrical as well. Do you all get an opportunity to perform these live at concerts as well?
Oh, sure. And in fact, we have videos of our live performances. We always play things live in front of people before we commit them to record. So feel free to go to parch.la and you can see a bunch of the videos.
Excellent. Yeah, I was just going to ask how people could get more involved. Do you have more information on social media as well?
Sure. There's a Facebook page. There's an Instagram page. All, you know, all the usual suspects, right?
Right. John, is there anything else that you'd like to add about either this release or the music of Harry Partch?
Well, keep your eyes and ears open. This is only volume 3. There's more to come. And the music is extraordinary. Harry Partch himself was also very keen in recording his own music. And for example, Wind Song, if you enjoy listening to it on this radio show, you should get onto YouTube and see the actual film of people frolicking on the lake. I would love to find out which lake it is. Maybe some of your listeners will find out.
Yeah. A multimedia experience with music of Harry Partch. And again, we've been speaking with John Schneider, the Partch Ensemble, and their third volume of music of Harry Partch. John, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us about this release.
It's been a pleasure.